Well, if you have your Bibles there, turn to John chapter 13. When I was about 4 and 5 years old, my mom started working at a hardware store in Park River, North Dakota, 2 days a week. And so those 2 days, usually Tuesdays and Thursdays, I got to go over to Grandma and Grandpa Leroux's. And I would spend the day with my grandpa. My grandpa was a farmer. And one particular time, my grandpa and I, we got into his 1950 Ford Diamond T truck. And we went down to the field to pick rocks. And we used a potato basket. And we would fill the potato baskets full of rocks. And then we'd dump them in the truck. Grandpa dumped them in the truck. I just watched. And I remember that a long time ago. In fact, that was 40 years ago. Remember those days 40 years ago? You know you're getting old when you can say 40 years ago. Anyhow, well, Grandpa and I, we were on our way back. We had been out picking rocks, and we drove into the yard there, and Grandpa let me out of the truck and sent me up to the porch of the house there to stay with Grandma up on the porch while he drove down to the little creek. He was going to go down there. And he drove the truck down there, which was not real far from the house. And he got out of the truck, and all of a sudden he heard his little grandson crying at the top of his lungs. "Why is Tom crying? He wants to come down there and watch you. He wants to be with you." And so Grandpa said, "Well, send him on down then." So I got to go down there and be with my grandpa as he dumped the rocks out of the truck onto the culvert and round the culvert there. It doesn't take much to entertain me, okay? I'm a simple man. If all I get to see is rocks falling out of the truck, I'm okay with that. But I wanted to be with my grandpa. I followed him wherever, and I got to go where he went. And later on, when we took over the farm, my other grandpa's farm in 1976, wherever my dad was, that's where I was going to be. Didn't matter where he went, I was going to follow him. I wanted to be with my dad. I think of that in our passage here this evening with Peter and Jesus. First thing I'd like for us to look at this evening here is you will follow later. You will follow later. Feel free to write that in your bulletins there. You probably get an extra bonus prize of some sort, or maybe Garner will take the Dairy Queen afterwards, okay? You will follow later. You'll notice here the context of John chapter 13 is the Lord's Supper. So Jesus, he's with his disciples here in a real nice setting. And in this setting, it's Jesus and his disciples. And you notice there in verse 1 there and following, it says something to the effect, "And he came to his own." His own. And he loved them. He loved them to the end, having loved them to the end. And there's a closeness to that. It is wonderfully true. It's an amazing truth that so much God loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but you've heard that one before. Fantastic. That's wonderfully true. That's great gospel news. Amazing truth. That God so much loved the world. See? Some of those people believe that. And they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they get a little closer to him. And he gets a little closer to them. Having loved his own. And he loved them right to the end. And the end is getting pretty close, isn't it, for Jesus there at the cross. Okay, and so we notice this great truth here. And then he goes on. There's some other things that happen there at the Last Supper there. And then we get kind of towards, for me, I have to turn my page here. Jesus tells them there in that nice setting. He says to them, "Where I am going, you cannot come. Where I am going, you cannot come." And Peter's response is, "Lord, where are you going?" Peter hears Jesus tell him and his disciples, where I'm going, you cannot come. Well, Lord, where are you going? I want to be where you are. So we note Peter's devotion to Jesus, his commitment, his loyalty, his love to Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, it doesn't make any difference where he's going. I want to be with you. That's where I want to be. Oh, that God would work in your heart and in my heart, that we would be like that. Jesus, wherever you're going, and I don't know where it is exactly that you're going, but I want to be with you. I want to be so close to you, Jesus, wherever that may be. That God would stir in our hearts, that we would be kind of like this here Peter here too. I want to be where you want to be. Okay? And so we notice Peter's devotion there. Jesus, he answers Peter. He says, where I go, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. You can't follow right now. So Jesus gives Peter his word. Peter has just received the word of Jesus, the word of God. Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. As I thought of that, I thought about my days when I was a younger person back in high school, and thinking of days in the eastern North Dakota when we had blizzards, and you have blizzards out here too, and when you're a young person, you pretty much think you're invincible. Dad, I'm going to go for a drive. I'm going to go someplace far away in my pickup. Because I have four-wheel drive, and I drive a Chevy. And I'm going to go. No, Tom, you are staying home. Well, why can't I go? Because it's a blizzard outside, Tom. You can't be out in a blizzard. No, I should be able to go. There's no good reason, Dad, why I can't go. I know better than you, Dad. Now that I'm a dad, I know what my dad was trying to tell me. Kind of like that for Peter here. He's really kind of telling Jesus, there's no reason I can't follow you. I really know better than you. I should be able to go along wherever you're going. Okay? But Peter had just received Jesus' words. Where I'm going, you cannot go now, but you'll come later. Should have been the end of the discussion. Peter should have received that and said, okay, if that's what you say, that's what you mean. But he didn't. He kept on a little further. Why? And so on and so forth. Okay? The same should be true in our lives as well. When Jesus gives us his word, it's to take it and receive it, not question it. Yeah, but Lord God, what about this scenario or this, that, or this or that or whatever? No. God gives us his word, and it's for us then to accept it. Submit to his written word. Okay, where are you going to find God's word today? Right here. Okay, so when God gives you his word, whether it's to do something or not to do something, we do it because he has authority over us. Okay, and so we notice that here in Peter's comment here. Okay, now those 12 disciples, when they heard those words, you can't come now, but you will follow later. For Peter, it was, Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter. Because Jesus loved Peter. He said, I prayed for you, Peter, that, you know, down the road here a little bit, you're going to run into some trouble. And I've prayed that you'll be sustained in your faith, that you'll grow in your faith, and that when you have turned, when you've repented, then you go and encourage your brothers. So Jesus is kind of helping Peter along here to get to this point. No, they didn't come all right. He's helping Peter so that when this point comes, Peter will know what to do. He'll know that Jesus is there waiting for him in his love and his forgiveness, okay? And so as we think of that then, from what I can gather, 11 of the 12 disciples were killed for their faith, okay? They will follow later one day. And so we notice that as well. So Peter said to him, why can't I follow you right now? And we talk some about that. And then he goes on and he says, you know, I really should tell Jesus just how committed I am to him. I need to let him know how tough I am. I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. Okay? And he really means it. We note his loyalty and his love for his Jesus, his Lord and Savior, and his commitment. You know, he doesn't just say it just to say something nice, but he really means it. And so we go back to the setting that he's in. He's with Jesus in this nice Lord's Supper, and it's all Christians except for Judas Iscariot. He's probably already gone by now. And so it's easy to say stuff like this, be bold and rash, and say stuff like this in a nice setting. But the setting isn't going to stay that pleasant for Peter, as we discover. So we can think of that too in our own lives. Okay? Sometimes it's easy to give a commitment to Jesus right here. But in the world out there where people don't always approve of Jesus and his teachings, it's not always so easy, is it? And so we notice that with Peter here. So it leads us to our second thought. We noticed you will follow later. The second thing we notice is you will falter later. You will falter later. So we notice Jesus' response here. He says he heard, or let's go this way. He heard what Peter said, I will follow you always. And I'll lay down my life for you. Even if the rest of the disciples, you know, if they don't follow you, if they deny you, I won't, because I'm tough. I'll follow you all the way. I'll never deny you. Never, 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 never. Because that's who I am. Okay? Jesus, he just puts it point blank. Really? You'll lay down your life for me? And those words are highlighted back in verse 37. Will you lay down your life? I will lay down my life for you. You could highlight that you. Here in verse 38, will you lay down your life for me? Me is highlighted. Jesus goes on and says, just the opposite is going to happen. Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. And so the scene changes for Peter and Jesus and the disciples as they come and arrest him, and they take him to this trial at night, and they're in the courtyard there, whatever that looked like, and there's a little campfire probably, and maybe they're warming themselves by the fire, and Jesus is on trial, and Peter is standing there by the fire wishing he had a marshmallow. And all of a sudden, a little girl comes over. A little servant girl. I recognize you. You were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. I don't even know the man. A little servant girl. This big, tough, bold, rash man. I will lay down my life for you. Even if all these others deny you, I won't. Girl spotted him. So he moves over to a different campfire, maybe over here. They got hot dogs at this fire. And he stands over there warming himself, and another servant girl comes and says, hey, I saw you with Jesus. I don't know the man. Never seen him in my life. And he walks over to another place, and then somebody else spots him. Your speech gives you away. It's interesting about speech. We were down in Missouri last summer, and we were at the movie theater. They had a show there. And I was sitting there, and there was a fellow there with this little girl, and I told him, oh, I'm from North Dakota, and just wondering, you know, where are you from? And it's nice to be down here and stuff. And he said, yeah, I could tell you weren't from these parts. Your speech gave you away. The same thing happened when I went to California. You're not from these parts, are you? I'm not the one with the funny accent. You are. Does that ever happen to anybody else? Or just me? Okay. You know, his speech gave him away. And they said, "Surely you're one of Jesus' people." And he started cursing and swearing, "I don't know the man. I have no idea what you're talking about. Never seen him in my life." He maybe takes a couple steps, and at the same time, Jesus is being led by, and guess what happened? Bang! He gets run over by a rooster. The rooster attached to the word of Jesus meant something to him. To everybody else who was standing in that courtyard and at Jesus' trial, they probably didn't even hear the rooster. Or if they did hear the rooster, it's time to get out of bed and get going to work. But to one man, Peter, that meant something totally different. Where the rooster crowed and Jesus was led by and Jesus looked at him. And Jesus, the Son of God, used a rooster. A rooster to awaken repentance in his life. Convict him of his sin. I got those backwards. Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth, used a rooster to convict him of his sin and to bring him to repentance and to strengthen his faith and for him to realize that as Jesus turned and he looked at him, that Jesus loved him and forgave him. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you used to have roosters back at the farm? Did you ever think God would use a rooster? They just chase you and try and peck your ears off or something like that. But God used a rooster. Not so long ago, we had a message on Balak and Balaam. What kind of animal did God use there? A donkey. What kind of animal could God use to speak to you? As long as it's attached to the written word of God. Tonight, he's not going to use an animal. He might use your pastor as he speaks the written word of God to you to bring about conviction of sin and repentance and faith in God's love and his forgiveness. Okay? And so we notice that as well. As Jesus was being led by and Peter had denied him three times, To everybody else now, to the servant girl, those bystanders, to them Peter was a coward. He was a loser. Get him out of here. We don't want anything to do with him anymore. But not Jesus. For Jesus turned and he looked at him. And looked as a look of intention. He looked at him. Okay? And that's what Jesus used to catch his attention. Okay? And it's interesting then that Peter here, as we get further along here, Peter then also, he wept bitterly. As the rooster crowed and Jesus looked at him, he remembered Jesus' words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." How did Jesus know that? He's God. Pretty cool, isn't it? And so that had Jesus' words of prophecy had impact on Peter's life. Okay? And so we notice that. Whatever happened to Peter? Sometime later, Peter and his disciples were over there by the lake, I think, and Jesus came to them. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, you know I do." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, you know I do." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know all things." Isn't that good? You know me. You know me, Lord. You know what kind of man I am. I love you. Okay. And so God restored him again and sent him on a path. Okay. You know, as I thought of that, Peter and I share some similarities. I'm just like Peter. Sometimes I can say, it's easy to follow Jesus. I'll lay down my life for Jesus. But sometimes, you know who I think of first? Me. In and of myself, I would never, never lay down my life for Christ in my own human flesh. Never would I do it. Just like Peter. Just like you are. That old fleshly nature would never do something like that for Jesus. We stick up for ourselves. How could we do it then? How is it possible? Well, we could go over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's the only way we'll ever do that, by laying down our life for Christ, sticking up for him and living for Christ. That's what the context of Paul there is living for Christ in good times and bad times. The only way that'll ever happen in my life and in your life is through Christ who strengthens me. You don't have to do it on your own strength. In fact, you won't do it on your own strength. And you might be pretty tough, okay? But not that tough. And you don't have to do it on your own strength, because Jesus wants to come and give you that strength through him. And that's the good news, that he's willing to do that for you. I need an amen. Amen. And that's the good news then. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Lord God, oh, that you would stir in our hearts here tonight, that we, like Peter, would have a devotion to you and a great love for you, willing to lay down our lives for you. Oh, yes, indeed, the spirit is willing, but that flesh, it is weak. And you already know that, Lord. You know us. And so we ask, Lord, that you would come into our hearts through your spirit and your word, the presence of your word, to strengthen us, so that we too might recognize, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.